This is a Big Facts Network exclusive.
You can call on me. 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 You can call on me.
Oh yeah, this beat hot.
What is going on, homies? It's your big homie Kodak, and we got some special homies in the building. Stacey Lee Pratt brought some, you know, the CAU family brought some family with her, so I'm gonna let them introduce themselves because there's a lot of love in the building right now.
Well, first of all, you gotta put that S on the end of Spratt.
Spratt.
That's right. I am Stacey Lee Spratt.
Yeah.
And this is my husband, Daylon. Okay.
How's it going? What's going on? Y'all good?
Listen.
I know Atlanta's crazy right now. The weather is awful.
The weather's wild.
Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah. So we here to talk about black love.
Black love.
So what do you, because a lot, all the time on social media these days, like, we see people having issues. Issues with love, issue with finding love, issues with keeping love, issue with recognizing love. So what do you think is some of the biggest issues, like, millennials or whatever the title is right now, face when it comes to dating that you can see from your own, like, observations?
I'm gonna let you.
Oh, you let me handle that question.
You know, you 8 years younger, so.
Yeah. I think we just live in a day and age where everybody sees with social media.
Uh-huh.
I blame social media, man. I hate to be that person, but I just feel like everybody is watching a highlight reel of everyone else's life.
Yeah.
So now you're trying to compare your day-to-day struggles with the highlight reel
of somebody else
that you don't even know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's like watching football highlights on YouTube and think you're supposed to score a touchdown
every time you get the ball.
Every time you, and if you don't, you're going to feel like you're a failure.
And that's exactly how it is, man. So you seeing people live lives, women getting bags, guys having all these girls and having a certain type of woman, and you think that's what it's supposed to be about. So you will overlook the person for you,
yeah,
because you thinking it's supposed to be somebody else that got something that you don't even need.
Yeah.
And I think it's the microwave industry. It's the industry of everything fast, everything now, everything quick. I mean, from relationships to starting businesses to school to education to everything, we want it fast and we want it now.
Yeah.
The success, we want it fast, we want it now. So I think that also plays a huge part.
Absolutely. And as somebody who is single and searching, you know, shout out to Drake for that song, Search and Rescue, come and listen. that's really what it's like out here. Like, dating, they say it all the time, but, like, dating really is like a urine-filled pool at this point.
Ooh,
because it's you have to decipher between, because, and here's another issue. A lot of the times, as a man, you have to decipher between who's actually looking for love and who's actually looking for help, who's actually bored, who actually has no other recourse other than finding support romantically. So, yeah, but give the people your love story, because that's what we're here to talk about. What happened?
Well, first of all, I'm 8 years older than Daylon. Mm-hmm. So when we first met, we were at Clark Atlanta University. We were at Clark Atlanta University.
Yeah.
We were in the MBA program, and that was 2007.
Yep, 2007.
Yeah, 2007, 2008. Didn't think anything about it. Fast forward years later, I have an event in Dallas where he's from, and I'm like, hey, you know, come and speak at my event. Years go by again, and I see him on social, and I hit him in his DM like, hey, do you have a girlfriend? I want to hook you up with someone. Mind you, I'm about to hook him up with someone. His response back was, if you aren't hooking us up together, then no thank you. I'm thinking, he's 8 years younger. I'm trying to hook him up with somebody younger than me. I'm like,
Well played.
Listen, man. Well, Yo Gotti say, man, mister, I ain't lost a crush since high school. I'm trying to tell you, bro. Hey, man, I ain't finna lose.
So literally, I was like, what? Like, I was like, dude, you 8 years younger than me. What? I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And then I started thinking about it, and all these women, I mean, were dating younger men, like Gabrielle Union was, Taraji P. Henson had her little young thunder. It was so many women, and I was like, you know what, let me give this man a chance.
Yeah.
And this man a chance turned into my husband, baby daddy.
Hey, you know, shout out to her making it work. Listen, they made it work. How did you feel that it, when she sent that DM? Because I know, I can speak from experience, like you get that DM from the one that you want.
Yeah.
And it's at the top of your inbox. It's like a gift from God.
Yeah. Man, to be honest, like I said, like Stacey said, man, I'm 8 years younger than her. So we were in grad school when we met, but I was still an undergrad at Clark. I was doing it at the same time.
Yeah.
So Stacey was the bad chick. You know what I'm saying?
No, she had it going on. She had it going professional.
That and not only was that, she was a you were an advisor on campus, weren't you, for the Greeks?
Mm-hmm.
So while I was pledging Kappa, she was the advisor for the Deltas. So I'm talking to the Deltas around my age. Like, man, who y'all advisor? Like, she in my grad program. She fine. I'm telling all her little. It's funny because today they always remind me, like, oh, you finally got her, huh?
Yeah.
Damn right, I finally got her. Man.
Shooters.
Shoot, bro.
Yeah.
But nah, man, I'll never forget the first time she reached out to me, and I tell all the time, I was dating someone else, but we were at the end of our relationship. Mm-hmm. And me and her had got into it that day. We was in Arizona, and Stacey reached out and was like, hey, Daylen, do you have a minute to talk about an event? I was like, but this girl want to talk to me? I'm already mad at this. Hey, this must be a sign. Let me get up out of here, man.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it was because you're still here today, going strong.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But then God just moves in funny ways, man. Me and that young lady broke up. And I remember my best friend telling me, he was like, man, don't even worry about it, man. God going to put somebody in your life this summer. It was like May.
Yeah.
Come August. Reconnected, and we never stopped.
Listen, I had the same thing. My girlfriend was like, "It's something is about to happen for you."
Mm-hmm.
And literally weeks later, it was, you know, Daylen and I.
I love it. I love it. Now, Daylen, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Because a lot of times I see women say that men are intimidated by a successful woman. Yep. No matter how successful the guy is, if the woman is successful, the guy's going to be intimidated.
Yeah.
Stacey, she popping.
Yeah.
She. So was there ever a time where, I mean, you speak your truth on it, but was there ever a time you're like, man, she got a lot going on. I don't know.
Nah, man, to be honest, bro, I've never been the type of person that was intimidated, man, like that by people, because I just feel like with my personality, I don't really look at all of that. No matter what you have, I'm never going to feel like you better than me.
Yeah.
You just got more than what I got right in this second.
Uh-huh.
So when me and Stacey, and this is, I don't know, she don't like me telling our truth like this, man. But like when me and Stacey first started dating, like I was at the low.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I was at my bottom at that point, man. But I remember having a real conversation with Stacey. And I'm very transparent. I was like, I know where you are, and I know what you had. I'm not right there right this second, but I was like, but one thing I can promise you, you will never have to step down to accommodate me.
That's big. That's
so whatever you got going, I can always take care of myself, my ticket, my room, my flight, my meal, whatever it is we got going.
Yeah,
you ain't gonna never have to take care of me.
Yeah.
Right. I might not can get both of us right now. Say, you ain't got to worry about taking care of me.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's real.
Nah.
Right. And then right after that, life took off for me.
Yeah.
And she was along for the ride.
During that time, you were waiting to renew.
Man, we had just lost the television show. We had a TV show on Travel Channel, and they canceled it.
Wow.
So we was up, and then we was down. Mm-hmm. Y'all know how the entertainment business is. Right. We were waiting for the next opportunity.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There was no opportunity.
And I feel like, because of course I do the same thing, like the same industry as well. Like it is an up and down. You could, it's one day, you could have $10,000 the next day, you got $0.
Zero. Just like
literally.
That. Just like that.
And a lot of times, I know just what I've been doing recently, sometimes you have to invest in your own shit. So even if you did get a big check, 100%. That's going back in the business.
100%.
It ain't like you got that to go vacation with. Now, 100%. We working to a point where we can get that to go vacation with. But in your building stage, I think that is an important testament because a lot of times it's hard to get other people to see your vision as well.
Absolutely.
Because that's what it takes for a woman like Miss Stacey to feel like, okay, he doesn't got it right now, but he can get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's gonna get it.
Yeah.
And having someone believe in you helps push you to that level.
100%.
I don't think a lot of people realize that if you are in a situation or your partner's in a situation and they have drive and they have dedication, somebody to just breathe life in them, breathe positivity into them, that's something that could take them and help them get to that next level.
And it's also about the, you know, he would give me his last, regardless of where he was, I would get the last. And the way that this man works and his drive is beyond what I've seen in a man. And so during that time, it was a transitional time, but I knew that that transitional time wasn't going to last forever. It wasn't going to last always. He wasn't sitting at home and not working, not grinding,
playing the game all day.
Right. Not having irons in the fire. I knew what it was that he would become and what he's still becoming. I see the vision. I see it. And he sees the same for me. He knew what type of wife I would be, what type of mother I would be, and that my grind would never end. You know, you have to be equally yoked, and we're also best friends. Like, that's my homeboy. I like him as a person. You know, so even when I don't like him as my husband, I still like him as my friend.
And I feel like that's another thing to what you said earlier, the microwave generation. Men and women, particularly on the men's side, because we're looked to as providers, but a lot of time, if a guy doesn't have it right then, he's automatically like, nah, can't even, if he's working on it. You could be in school and lose your girl to somebody who got it right now. And as a, as somebody who was in Clark Atlanta University from 2008 to 2013, I seen them Atlanta Falcons, them Atlanta Rappers. I saw them come on campus and get the ones that you want. I've seen it. But having, like I said, having somebody to believe in your vision, I think that's something a lot more people should be open to. Like, and we're not, we're not saying you should get with a guy who has nothing and he not working on nothing. Not at all. Because why would you waste your not saying that. Why would you waste your time? But if this guy has a plan and he's executing that plan, he has the means to get there, it's only a matter of time.
Absolutely. And no one's saying go out there and pay your man bills.
We're not saying that either.
At all. But what we are saying is someone that has a vision, you know, and is executing that vision. You know what I mean? Like, because plenty of people can talk the talk, but you're not doing anything to execute. It's like prayer without work. How you praying for, but you're not working for it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the same. Yeah,
no,
I agree. And I also feel like a lot of women are shell-shocked from those type of dudes because if they hear just build with me. They've heard that a lot of times from guys who weren't showing it. So even if you are working towards it, they have to see you working towards it.
Right.
It's not something that just that can just be assumed.
No.
Also, like while we got here, while we got y'all here, we got you here in February. We got to talk about black love. And one thing that I hate us seeing is being combative on social media. Like tearing each other down because, and a lot of times when I see men, and I see men and women do this all the time. We're gonna, well, I love white women and I love white men and black men ain't shit and white, black women ain't shit. Come on. Like, I think it's the craziest thing in the world is to assume that everybody of this opposite or different race is gonna treat you better. There are women and men that are different races that would dog you out than whatever the awful decisions you were making with people in your race.
That, I mean, look, you can get dogged out by anybody. It doesn't matter. White, Asian, you know, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
But we're celebrating black love. And I mean, why not? I love it.
I love love,
but I love black love. I love seeing black men and black women loving on each other because I feel like just in the media alone, it's just, you just get a bad rap. And to your point, I think it's February and folks are going at it like nobody's business. It's so much combativeness.
Negativity.
Need a little peace.
We do need a little
peace. Some peace and love.
We do need a little peace. And shout out to all the black couples, of course. Got the Sprats. So also, since we're talking about all types of love, what are like What do you have? What advice do you have for people that are trying to get out of those toxic love situations? Ooh. Or what is your definition of something that could be considered a toxic situation? If you have been in that before, you know, welcome for live examples.
Yeah. My main relationship before Stacey, I feel like was very, very toxic. Mm-hmm. And me and her just did not get along, man. It was just, you got to start looking at the signs. We were together for 3 years, and I felt like nothing positive would happen in my life when I was with her. I started to notice it. Every time we would break up, we was one of relationships on and off again.
Uh-huh.
Literally, I promise you, this happened every time throughout our 3 years. Say we broke up on a Thursday, I would get a call or email that Friday with some type of opportunity. Like just business-wise, so career-wise. Anytime I was with her, nothing would happen. As soon as we would break up, something big would happen in my life.
Wow.
It happened about 3 or 4 times, and I started to notice it.
Yeah, the first time, that's man, a coincidence. Yeah, second time, like, wow. Like,
damn, we just broke up, and something else happened.
Third time, like, hold on.
Hey, bitch, you might be blocking my blessing. You might be blocking my blessing.
It's you.
100%.
It's you.
And I'll never forget, man, I turned 30, and me and my best friends went out the country, and we was on a boat, and my best friend looked at me. He was like, man, what you gonna do differently going into your 30s? Mm. I was like, man, I'm going to leave Shawty alone, man. And he was like, bro, I think that's probably the best thing for you.
Wow.
Got home, cut it off. Literally, a couple days later, I got a call for my TV show, Ghost Brothers. And that's like set my life up after her. And it was just like, yeah. So I think it's taking notice to things like that in your life. Like, right. What happens when you're not in the presence of this toxic person?
Yeah.
Are things better for you? Realizing that. And I always feel like God gonna always drop you little breadcrumbs in the way you're supposed to go. You just have to be aware enough to acknowledge it and see it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have still been in that toxic relationship going back and forth with this girl. I'm not in a space to receive my blessing.
Mm.
But yeah, then when I got with Stacey and I told her, from the moment I got with her, everything went right in my life.
Yeah.
I ain't saying it's because of her. I believe God put her in my place for
that. 1 + 1 = 2, man.
Yeah, but it's something that I noticed.
Yeah.
As soon as we got together, I got another TV show, another one, got another business, got this, got that. I'm like,
he turned into DJ Khaled.
Another one. Like, literally. So when Stacey met me, we was ground zero. But then from us partnering together and just the blessings that God bestowed upon me and us, yeah, life took a total 180.
Absolutely.
It's just, yeah, you can't deny it.
Boy, look how you looking at her.
Man, listen, man, I wouldn't let her go to where she wanted to.
So one thing that in conversation I'm having with women about, like, relationships and things like that, a lot of times I feel like there needs to be a trial period in relationships because we jump into things too quickly based on the feeling.
We do.
Based on the feelings, we jump into things. And sometimes, you got like, people having babies with people they don't even know for real.
Yeah. I mean, isn't the trial period called dating? Isn't that what...
That is an interesting...
dating is for? You know, old schools, like, you date multiple people. You ain't got to fuck everybody. But you can date multiple people and get to know people. Mm-hmm. Because everybody's representative shows up at first.
Yeah.
As time goes on.
What's the trial period for that? What do you think that is?
When do you think our representatives go away? I think after about 4 or 5 months, 6 months, I think you're starting to...
Yeah.
That representative,
you have to see them in different seasons.
You got to see them in different seasons, different lights. Yeah. You got to see them when things are up. You got to see them when things are down. You got to see how people react to different environments.
Yeah.
You
know, the stressors of true life and how you handle those stressors. It's very important how you handle your family. But what people have to understand is you argue with your brothers and your sisters.
Yeah.
You get into arguments with your family. Mm-hmm. How would you not get into an argument with someone that you're dating? But it's all about how you handle those arguments, mm-hmm, how you talk to each other, how you communicate.
Yeah.
You know, so I just think you're supposed to date to get to know someone. People jump into these relationships and then you realize you start getting to know them and you're like, I don't really like them.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And I'm also guilty of that because I've been the person in the past, like, before last year, I'm the person, if something go bad, block, delete it.
Oh, yeah, see.
The smallest thing. But now it's like, I know I... There are some situations where I need grace, so mm-hmm. I need to pass that on to others.
Absolutely.
But I cannot terminate a situation because of a bad conversation or a misunderstanding.
No. Now, if it's a non-negotiable.
Yeah, of course. Can, yeah, of but course. We all have our non-negotiables. Right. Like, but my non-negotiables are so much on the forefront, you're going to run into those anyway.
That's
you can't
true.
Dodge. You can't dodge, because my biggest one is communication.
Yes.
Because if we can, but that, I feel like that should be a core thing. Like, you're not going to just tell me, oh, I'm not good at texting. I'm not good at talking on the phone, because we're not going to be good together. Mm-hmm. Because that's going to show itself eventually, and it's probably going to be early, and it's going to make me upset, because you can't tell me you're too busy to talk when I got to do this all day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if I can make room to talk to you, you can definitely like make room to like send a text or something.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that's not spoken about enough in relationships is therapy.
Oh yeah.
So do you think, is someone going to therapy in a relationship, do you think that should be a red flag, or that should be like a green flag? Should that be something you go to together? Would you like, and I'm talking about early on, like you guys are just talking about this, somebody you really like.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as in my opinion, you should go as individuals,
mm-hmm.
because you gotta be individually whole before you can jump yourself into a marriage or a serious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So to start dating someone and then y'all are together and you say, oh, well, let's go to therapy, you both should probably do individual therapy. Yeah.
So if somebody, okay, so if somebody
first,
if they are in therapy,
mm-hmm.
or not are in therapy, but if somebody isn't into therapy, they're not into it, they don't see the benefit of it, would that be like, do you think that's something that would be a turnoff to most people?
I don't think it would be a turnoff to most people, because I feel like most people don't go to therapy.
Right. Mm.
You know what I mean? So I don't think it would be a turnoff to most, but I do think more people should explore therapy. We did marriage counseling.
Yeah.
That's not really therapy, but I definitely feel like we needed to do marriage counseling before we got married.
Right.
You know what I mean? From an unbiased party, somebody that can listen to all the complaints and quarrels that we had in a relationship. And, you know what I'm saying, try to dissect where those issues came from. So marriage counseling for sure. But I do feel like, and to be honest, I've never done just regular therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I should,
mm-hmm.
100%. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of shit. I feel like I need to get off my shit. But
same.
So I'm totally not against it, and I definitely think I should.
Therapy is so beneficial. I've done therapy before, and it is so beneficial. It just opens your eyes to things that you didn't even know about yourself. Mm. You know, again, from an unbiased party. And I think any and everyone should definitely do marriage counseling, because that's also another way of someone looking at you both and just feeling comfortable and getting comfortable with talking to someone who you don't feel is going to be judgy, you know, with how you feel, or in certain situations, how you might react.
Yeah. So, all right, let's combine some HBCU factors into this. Okay, so, you know, homecoming season come around.
It goes down during homecoming. Well,
we used to. We all was college students at one point.
Yes,
so indeed. Is that like a point that we like, oh, just college, I feel like college shouldn't matter. If I talked to somebody who went to an HBCU, I know how I was in college. You didn't know me back then. It's not like, can you put that behind some like, say if you go to homecoming, like say if I talk to a girl, she got a wild past. Is that something that should be ignored, or is that like, man, you made bad decisions?
To be honest, man, our situation is a little bit different, because we went to the same college.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And she's 8 years older than me.
Oof.
So the thing is, we went to the same college, but we were there at two different times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know how she was wilding in the 90s or whatever the hell she was there.
Don't do that.
You know what I'm saying?
It was the 90s, though.
She didn't know how I was wilding in the 2000s out there.
Right.
But the problem is, again, I'm around all of her neos in the sorority, so they know my history at Clark. So me and Stacey, we had to have a real conversation when we was dating. I had to put it all out there. I was like, look, this is my list.
When you go bump into them, you might see somebody,
you
but
can't knock
them hugs get a little long at tailgate.
He had older frat brothers as well, but it was kind of like, but that was, you know, however long ago. Yeah. That was both of our past.
Yeah.
So moving forward, moving on.
I just, in my head, if I end up, well, I don't say if, but hopefully I end up with a girl who went to HBCU so we can share that experience. But, you know, if you went to college, I'm going to assume the worst ever, and I'm going to just look past that. That's the blank period of your life. I'm not going to address it. Don't question me by mine. But yeah, that was my question, because you know sometimes it can be a tricky situation. It's kind of like, oh, you know this person,
right?
Oh, how do you know them?
Yeah. You don't want to know.
And I think that we were both rightfully popular in our own right in our own time frame.
Yeah.
So I think everybody kind of knows us at Clark in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And I think everybody kind of knows how we operate. So nobody really, I don't feel like any girl would blatantly try to be disrespectful because they know who Stacey is at campus. You're not going to come to me on campus. Even if we did used to date 20 years ago and hug me, I'm not going to hug you first and foremost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
no hugs?
I can't. Man, and it's funny, I'll be talking to people about it. Like, hey, how you operate at homecoming, man? You and your wife went to the same school. Like, bro, I can't. Bro, I sit down, man. I don't do nothing.
Be
like,
out the way.
I be out the way, bro. And I ain't even, not saying that I wouldn't, or would, or I would act any differently if she didn't go to Clark, because I don't think that I would. But she did go to Clark, so I know there's a million people looking at me, man. So I'm not even finna play with y'all.
He chooses not. I mean, I hug people, but you know, some folks can try to hug a little too long. I'm like,
you can't hug me too long no more now.
You can't pick me up.
Ain't no pick up.
Ain't no bro.
Ain't no Usher. Ain't no Usher, Alicia.
Ain't no.
I promise you, bro, I will make an example out of the first person that ever tries to be disrespectful right like that. I mean, I'm playing with my wife, man.
You know, you're not supposed to do that. But wife, I feel like
nobody plays with me like that.
Watching that Usher and Alicia, but that is that. I feel like that's that type of song. Yeah. My boo was that type of song.
But they were performing.
Oh, no. That was performing.
I mean, you act. Yeah, I'm at the gym with you, kissing somebody online.
We talking about homecoming.
Yeah, of course, not homecoming. Because we're not acting at homecoming. We're not acting at homecoming.
There is no acting at homecoming.
Because as a homecoming goer, I know when them homecoming, you going to homecoming. I know when them texts getting sent out.
I told Stacey, this past homecoming, one of my homegirls, who was AKA Clark, we was at the hot dog factory, which was the after party of the game.
Yeah.
And she came up to me. I was standing in the corner. She was like, Dale, man, I just want to tell you that I really appreciate you. I'm like, why? She said, because you standing over here with your arms crossed in the corner by yourself, just looking. She's like, you don't realize how many married men from our class or whatever, you know what I'm saying, is out here trying to get their groove back.
They trying to.
And I'm like, I know it. I see it.
Yeah.
It ain't me. I'm over here sitting my little black ass down.
That's right. Homecoming season, Facebook, text, all of that.
People be looking. People, as much as you maybe think that they are, I just truly don't believe people are as happy for you as you feel like they should
be. Oh, they absolutely are.
And everybody looks for reasons to be like, uh-huh, look at them. Or, they ain't like.
You don't want to give anyone no reason.
And I ain't going to give you no reason to even.
No.
I look at Dayla hugging on so-and-so, so-and-so. Man, say, man, you stay right over there, man. I give you one of these.
Yeah.
You keep it pushing.
Yeah, especially, you know the ones.
Quick pat, pat.
Don't come over here. Don't come over here. No. Uh-uh. The ones you see before they see you.
Right.
Oh, no.
Don't even look my way. Don't look too hard.
As soon as you come down the steps to the promenade, you're going right back up to the president's like, no, sir, you're not about to ruin my evening. Uh-uh. But, oh, man, so what are some other things you think, some other misconceptions people have about black love or love in general? Because it's really hard to find.
That's the word on the street.
Yeah.
But then, you know, everybody has the answers. And I'm like, the answers ain't that easy. It's work, regardless.
Work.
Any relationship is work. It don't just come easy. You know, and I think a lot of times that's what people want. You want something that's going to be easy. And
people do think relationships are easy.
Yeah, they do. They think marriage is easy. It is a constant compromise.
They think marriage is just a ring and photo shoots.
And you have to over communicate. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they think it's a ring and photo shoots and a wedding.
Yeah.
Shit is real.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, man, if you wouldn't go into business with the person that you're dating, then that ain't the person that you should be with.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the superficial reasons have kind of usurped what it really is. Like, oh, I want this wedding. You want a wedding. You don't really want to be married.
Right.
Like, that's two different things. Like when I was a kid, my mom had this thing called an unbirthday party, where it was just, she would throw me a birthday party for nothing. Like, just because it wasn't my birthday. It was an unbirthday party. So maybe that's something people should start doing. Just have a wedding. It doesn't have to be a real wedding. Take your pictures.
And everybody is on a time frame and a timetable. And, ooh, I'm so thankful to God that I didn't marry some of them muck duds that came my way.
Oh, my goodness.
I thank God that I didn't try to rush it.
Discernment. Yeah.
You know, I found my person. My person found me.
Yeah.
I thank God every time I dodge some bullets. You know what I mean? Like, just not rushing and just taking my time. And, you know, even with a child, you know, I'm about to be 47 years old. And we had Axel, I was, 44? Yeah, 44 when I had our baby girl. So everything doesn't have to be rushed. It's God, you know, it's God's time.
Yeah.
And I think so many women and even some men just feel like, there's an age limit. There's no age limit to what God has for you. There's no age limit to the person you're equally yoked to. There's no age limit to having children.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So people just don't feel like you got to rush. I mean, I've been there, but felt that and just had to calm my spirit and get myself together. Like, girl, what you don't want to do is any old baby daddy.
Yeah.
What you don't want to do is be married to somebody that... you know, that are not checking off the things that are important to you.
Mm.
And you be divorced in the next year. I would be divorced from everybody.
Yeah. Okay. So I want you guys to speak from your positions, like, before you had met each other. So, Daylon, I'm going to start with you.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to the guys, because you said earlier that it was not the best time in life for you.
Yep.
So talk to the guys who may be in that similar type of situation that want love, because, you know, companionship is fun. Love is fun.
Yeah,
like that's an amazing thing. But as men, it's driven into our head, like, if you can't provide, you don't need to be talking to her. But at the same time, so damn, I'm supposed to be lonely to, like, figure this shit out. And then once I figure this shit out, how I'm supposed to know that this is the right person?
Right.
Because everybody wants you when you up.
Yeah, right.
Because if you were single now, your DMs would be flooded.
Yeah.
So talk. Well, clearly they was flooded.
That's funny.
Then, you know, when I got up in them DMs.
Yeah. Man, again, man, I've just, and I'm not trying to be that guy, but, like, I've just always just been, like, I don't know, like, just super confident. Like, I've never relied on money to get girls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've always just either been cool or funny.
I don't think it should come down to that, because, you know, if you, that's what you lead with.
Right.
But that's what you're going to be.
People going to lead with what they got. Uh-uh. And I just didn't have money.
Because I know how I am. Because if I meet a girl and she's like, I can do da-da-da-da-da. Well, okay, cool. I need somebody to do da-da-da-da. Yeah. Great. You're here now. Oh, I want to be a girlfriend too. Wait a minute. We didn't talk about this.
Yeah.
I just need you to do A, B, and C.
Right.
You was good at that.
But I say all that to say, I didn't let my financial situation stop me from dating.
Yeah.
So when I wasn't dating nobody, I would just date within my means.
Yeah.
So I'm Tinder like everybody else, you know what I'm saying? The dating apps. But my first date would be, hey man, let's go get some yogurt. You know what I'm saying? Let's go get somewhere we can sit down and talk. And the conversation is going to be there.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take you someplace that I can afford.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're going to see where it go from there. But I'm not going to go blow my load on my wallet, my bag, just because it's our first date and I'm trying to get to know you. Like, I'm just, that's not how that situation works.
She gonna want that every time.
I mean, yeah, you're gonna set the precedent. But again, I'm also very truthful.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you blunt. Like, I don't, I'm not embarrassed about where I'm at.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because I know where I'm going. I know what I've accomplished already. I just know right at this second, I'm just a little low right now.
Yeah.
But I know how I am, and I'm going to get it back. So I wouldn't dare let... Bro, there's too many women out here, man.
You're right.
That's a point blank period. All respect to my wife. But there's a lot of women out here. If the... Rest in peace to my boy Romeo. I learned it early from a guy in high school, Christopher Williams, named Romeo. And we called him Romeo because his whole thing was he would talk to any girl. Mm. He was the guy. We would go to the mall. He would walk up to a group of five girls. He'll go to the first. Hey, what's up, girl? My name is Chris. Can I get your number? Hell no, nah, boy. All right, what's your homegirl? What's your name? Can I get your... He'll go down the line until one of them say yes.
Yeah.
And I realized that early on. I was like, man, this shit is just a numbers game, bro. It's a whole bunch of women out here.
Yeah,
10 might say no, but I guarantee you one of them going to say yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep running your numbers until you find somebody that you really, really mesh with. But you ain't got to get out the game just because you ain't got nothing.
They getting out the game. They get not just getting out the game. They getting out the game. They're not getting just getting out the game. They turn into women haters when that shit don't work. They turn into incels.
Cause you're not getting what you want or what you feel like you deserve.
Yeah.
And then you got to be realistic of where you are. You can't
He spit.
You know what I'm saying? You can't just shoot outside your league.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe you can, cause you might hit one. You can't be
what are the odds?
You might.
The odds are low.
Yeah, we
got shooters shoot though.
Shooters shoot, but at the same time, a lot of guys do have to be realistic.
You got
to
be like realistic.
If you're somebody who's never been around, somebody who considered fine in your life, you've never been. That's not your. You out of your depth. That's not your lead. But people have to be comfortable in their lead.
Yes.
Men and women.
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, shout out to y'all. Be comfortable in your league. Miss Stacy, so speak to the women who may be in that professional setting, may be big-time earners doing their thing, but they looking for love and they don't know how to find it because they looking for somebody to match that, but they don't...
I mean, you may not find anybody to match that. I mean, during the time that, again, I was older... You know, I had times of being stressed, like any older woman, like, okay, what am I going to do? Mm. You know, even in your 30s, you have those moments of when is it my time? When am I going to have kids? When am I going to get married? And then you just have to start being comfortable in the space and place that you're in. And you also don't want nothing that really isn't meant to be. We've all been there.
Yeah.
We've all done that. And I just think that in a place and space of just dating, I just was like, you know, fuck it, I'm just going to be dating,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, and it just so happened again, this one turned up.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting, neither one of us was expecting this, where mm-hmm. we ended up, we just thought we were going to be dating mm-hmm. and dating, and mm-hmm. that's it.
Kicking it, traveling.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because we enjoyed each other. I think it's going into something and not having all the expectations of where you think or want it to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being open and not going in and saying, okay, we're getting married today. We're doing this tomorrow. We're doing this. It's the expectations, I think, ruins the fun of dating.
Yeah, that'd be scaring me. You imagine somebody on Tinder like, oh, yeah, I'm looking for marriage right now. Huh? Girl, I don't even know your real name. This is a screen name, baby.
Yeah.
It's like go out a few times and then start getting to know somebody and then start talking about what it is that you want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, at some point when you're dating, you got to be honest and truthful of this is what I want. But not date one, not date two. It's just kind of like, enjoy each other. Have fun. See if you like his ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
You may not like him.
Nah, definitely. You may not like him. Okay. Oh, my good. This is a good conversation. Congratulations on everything you guys have done individually and as a unit. Any projects you want to talk about? What we got coming up?
What do I have coming up?
Oof. Busy.
We working on Harlem Hops.
Yeah.
You know, Black-owned craft beer bar. We are, you know, looking at brewing more great beer.
Yeah.
Working with Pinky Cole and the Pinky Cole Foundation.
Big.
You know, golly, events coming up. You know, getting black and brown kids to and through college.
I saw y'all on the Breakfast Club, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So It's so much going on, but you know what? We keeping busy.
Yeah.
We keeping busy.
Okay, okay. The Spritz! In the building, kicking it with your homie, Big Homie South's iHeart Podcast. Yeah, another episode down, man. We be it. Be back.